April 19th. Today, as we look into the Old Testament, we'll be reading from the book of Joshua, chapter 19, verse 1, through chapter 20, verse 9. Now, here's what's going on there just before we do the reading. Joshua saw to it that the distribution to the tribes was completed before he received his own inheritance. And, of course, the last shall be first. The test of true spiritual leadership is that the leader, the shepherd, is always looking out for his flock first. He lays down his life for his flock. The city of Timnath was located in a mountainous region where life would not be easy. Joshua could have chosen the finest place in the land, but he put others first and let them take the best. He was satisfied with what God was going to provide for him. And then as we move on into chapter 20 of this book of Joshua, we'll see that the territories are being doled out to the various tribes. And once again, the cities of refuge are mentioned. They're also mentioned in Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We've heard a lot about the cities of refuge as we have been going through the Old Testament. And of course, Jesus Christ is our city of refuge. But the salvation he gives is in contrast to the refuge given to the manslayer. It's true, very true, that the sinner must come to Christ. But it's also true that Christ first comes to the sinner. He first comes to us. Now, the elders of the six cities that are the cities of refuge did not go seeking for people to help. They were to help if they showed up at the city gate. The contrast is when we come to Christ, there is no trial to determine our guilt. We already know we're guilty. No trial needed. That's why we fled to him in the first place. We did not stand at the door and wait. We entered the open door and were welcomed by the Savior, knowing that we would never face condemnation. Because there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The manslayer that we'll hear about as we read in the book of Joshua, the one who committed the accidental death, the manslayer, had to remain in the city, but we, you and I, because we're in Christ, we get to go in and out and find pasture. All right, with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. April 19th, Joshua chapter 19, verse 1, through chapter 20, verse 9. The second allotment of land went to the families of the tribe of Simeon. Their inheritance was surrounded by Judah's territory. Simeon's inheritance included Beersheba, Sheba, Molada, Hazar Shual, Bala, Ezem, Eltolad, Bethul, Horma, Ziklag, Beth Markaboth, Hazar Susa, Beth Lebaoth, and Sharuin, 13 towns with their villages. It also included Ain, Rimon, Ether, and Ashan, 4 towns with their villages, including all the villages as far south as Behelathbir, also known as Ramah of the Negev. This was the inheritance of the families of the tribe of Simeon. Their inheritance came from part of what had been given to Judah because Judah's territory was too large for them. So the tribe of Simeon received an inheritance within the territory of Judah. The third allotment of land went to the families of the tribe of Zebulun. The boundary of Zebulun's inheritance started at Sarid. From there, it went west, going past Maralah, touching Dabasheth, and proceeding to the brook east of Jokneam. In the other direction, the boundary line went east from Sarid to the border of Kislath Tabor, and from there to Dabaroth and up to Japhia. Then it continued east to Gath Hefer, Eth Kazin, and Rimon, and turned toward Neah. The northern boundary of Zebulun passed Hanathon and ended at the valley of Iphtael. The towns in these areas included Katath, Nahalal, Shimron, Idalah, and Bethlehem, 12 towns with their surrounding villages. This was the inheritance of the families of the tribe of Zebulun. The fourth allotment of land went to the families of the tribe of Issachar. Its boundaries included the following towns: Jezreel, Kesulath, Shunem, Hapharaim, Shion, Anaharath, Rabith, Kishion, Ebez, Remeth, Inganim, Inhadah, and Bethpezez. The boundary also touched Tabor, Shahazamah, and Beth Shemesh, ending at the Jordan River. 16 towns with their surrounding villages. This was the inheritance of the families of the tribe of Issachar. The fifth allotment of land went to the families of the tribe of Asher. Its boundaries included these towns: Helkath, Hali, Beten, Akshaph, Elimelech, Amad, and Mizhal. The boundary on the west went from Carmel to Sihor-Libnath, turned east toward Beth Dagon, and ran as far as Zebulun into the valley of Iphtael, running north to Beth Emek and Nael. It then continued north to Kabul, Abdon, Rehob, Ammon, Cana, and as far as Greater Sidon. Then the boundary turned toward Ramah and the fortified city of Tyre and came to the Mediterranean Sea at Hosa. The territory also included Mehebel, Akzib, Ummah, Aphek, and Rehob, 22 towns with their surrounding villages. This was the inheritance of the families of the tribe of Asher. The sixth allotment of land went to the families of the tribe of Naphtali. Its boundary ran from Helif, from the oak at Zahananim, and extended across to Adami Nekeb, Jabneel, and as far as Lekum, ending at the Jordan River. The western boundary ran past Asnath Tabor, then to Hukok, and touched the boundary of Zebulun in the south, the boundary of Asher on the west, and the Jordan River on the east. The fortified cities included in this territory were Zidim, Zir, Hamath, Rakath, Kinnereth, Adama, Rama, Hazor, Kidesh, Edrei, En-Hazor, Yaron, Migdael, Horem, Beth-Anath, and Beth-Shemesh, 19 cities with their surrounding villages. This was the inheritance of the families of the tribe of Naphtali. The seventh and last allotment of land went to the families of the tribe of Dan. The towns within Dan's inheritance included Zora, Eshtaol, Ir Shamesh, Shahalabin, Aijalon, Ithla, Elon, Timnah, Ekron, Elteke, Gibeathon, Bahalath, Jehud, Bnei Barak, Gathrimon, and Mirjarkon, also Rakan, along the territory across from Joppa. But the tribe of Dan had trouble taking possession of their land, so they fought against the town of Lehesh. They captured it, slaughtered its people, and settled there. They renamed the city Dan after their ancestor. This was the inheritance of the families of the tribe of Dan, these towns with their villages. After all the land was divided among the tribes, the Israelites gave a special piece of land to Joshua as his inheritance, for the Lord had said he could have any town he wanted. He chose Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim. He rebuilt the town and lived there. These are the territories that Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the tribal leaders gave as an inheritance to the tribes of Israel by casting sacred lots in the presence of the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle at Shiloh. So the division of the land was completed. The Lord said to Joshua, "Now tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge, as I instructed Moses. Anyone who kills another person unintentionally can run to one of these cities and be protected from the relatives of the one who was killed, for the relatives may seek to avenge the killing. Upon reaching one of these cities, the one who caused the accidental death will appear before the leaders at the city gate and explain what happened. They must allow the accused to enter the city and live there among them. If the relatives of the victim come to avenge the killing, the leaders must not release the accused to them, for the death was accidental. But the person who caused the death must stay in that city and be tried by the community and found innocent. Then the one declared innocent because the death was accidental must continue to live in that city until the death of the high priest, who is in office at the time of the accident. After that, the one found innocent is free to return home. The following cities were designated as cities of refuge: Kadesh of Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. On the east side of the Jordan River, across from Jericho, the following cities were designated as cities of refuge: Bezer in the wilderness plain of the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead in the territory of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan in the land of the tribe of Manasseh. These cities were set apart for Israelites as well as the foreigners living among them. Anyone who accidentally killed another person could take refuge in one of these cities. In this way, they could escape being killed in revenge prior to standing trial before the community. April 19th. We turn our attention now to the New Testament, and today we'll be reading in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 48. That's Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 48. Now, this is what is known as the triumphal entry, but there were mixed emotions going on as the Lord approaches the city. This is the day of visitation. What a tragedy that the Jewish nation did not even know their own king when he came to them. But when he comes again, will he really find faith on the earth? Our Lord wept, for he saw the terrible judgment that was coming to the city and the people. But what is God looking for? Well, he's seeking the lost, he is seeking worshipers, and he wants fruit, real spiritual fruit, in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, gentleness, temperance, self-control, and he wants faithful servants. Has he found you? Do you belong to him fully and completely? Well, with that, let's hear what the Word of God has to say as we read today from the New Testament. April 19th, Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 48. After telling this story, Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. "Go into that village over there," he told them, "and as you enter it, you will see a colt tied there that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying our colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. Then the crowd spread out their coats on the road ahead of Jesus. As they reached the place where the road started down from the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. "Bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He replied, "If they keep quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." But as they came closer to Jerusalem and Jesus saw the city ahead, he began to cry, "I wish that even today you would find the way of peace, but now it is too late, and peace is hidden from you. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you. They will crush you to the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you have rejected the opportunity God offered you." Then Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the merchants from their stalls. He told them, "The scriptures declare, 'My temple will be a place of prayer,' but you have turned it into a den of thieves." After that, he taught daily in the temple. But the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the other leaders of the people began planning how to kill him. But they could think of nothing, because all the people hung on every word he said. Today we're reading in Psalm 88, verses 1 through 18. Now this is one of the few psalms that does not end on a note of glorious victory. When Haman wrote it, he was suffering greatly, and God had not given him any relief. But he kept on praying anyway, kept on trusting God. Next time you want to say, "Nobody knows how I feel," well, take time to read this psalm, Psalm 88. How did Haman feel? Well, like a dead man buried in a dark pit, like a drowning man sinking under cold waves and billows. He felt pretty bad. He felt like a defiled man watching everybody run away and leave him alone. Even his friends deserted him. Most of all, he felt like a doomed man whom God had completely forsaken. But Haman did not give up. He hung in there. Instead, he looked by faith to God, the God of wonders, the God of loving kindness, the God of faithfulness. He cried out to God and told him just how he felt. He wasn't putting on any religious or spiritual sounding pretense. He told God exactly how he felt. He was honest with God. Now, your feelings may change, but God never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can trust him even in the dark, even when you seem to be drowning, when you feel most alone, you can trust him. God knows how you feel. He felt that way himself. Remember on the cross when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He is not distant from us. He knows how we feel when we suffer, when we feel alone. And he's working out his purposes for you. The final verses of your psalm here have not been written yet, but God knows what they are. So wait for him. Wait on the Lord. He's worth waiting for. Psalm 88, verses 1 through 18. For the choir director, a psalm of the descendants of Korah, to be sung to the tune, "The Suffering of Affliction," a psalm of Heman, the Ezrahite, a song. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out to you day and night. Now hear my prayer, listen to my cry, for my life is full of troubles, and death draws near. I have been dismissed as one who is dead, like a strong man with no strength left. They have abandoned me to death, for I am as good as dead. I am forgotten, cut off from your care. You have thrust me down to the lowest pit, into the darkest depths. Your anger lies heavy on me, wave after wave engulfs me. You have caused my friends to loathe me. You have sent them all away. I am a trap with no way of escape. My eyes are blinded by my tears. Each day I beg for your help, O Lord. I lift my pleading hands to you for mercy. Of what use to the dead are your miracles? Do the dead get up and praise you? Can those in the grave declare your unfailing love? In the place of destruction, can they proclaim your faithfulness? Can the darkness speak of your miracles? Can anyone in the land of forgetfulness talk about your righteousness? O Lord, I cry out to you. I will keep on pleading day by day. O Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you turn your face away from me? I have been sickly and close to death since my youth. I stand helpless and desperate before your terrors. Your fierce anger has overwhelmed me. Your terrors have cut me off. They swirl around me like floodwaters all day long. They have encircled me completely. You have taken away my companions and loved ones. Only darkness remains. Proverbs chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when dreams come true, there is life and joy. People who despise advice will find themselves in trouble. Those who respect it will succeed. The advice of the wise is like a life-giving fountain. Those who accept it avoid the snares of death.